Good morning. Wonderful to be with you this morning. Let's go to the Lord once again in prayer, please. Dear God in heaven, our hearts say amen to what we have just sung. Speak, O Lord, we pray from your word. We're grateful that you're a God who does just that. We're grateful that you are a God who does indeed speak from your word. And even though we can come with a certain level of expectancy this morning, Lord, we just know and we feel that it is hard for us to preach your word. It's hard for us to hear your word, not because your word is not wonderful and glorious, but Lord, because we are so needy. And so once again, we ask this morning that by your grace and for your glory, you would once again speak to us from your wonderful word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let me ask you to turn back with me in God's word to Luke chapter 2, to that tremendous story that Pastor Justin read for us earlier. It's that tremendous story of the shepherds out in the field at night watching their sheep when they are frightened out of their wits by an angel from heaven giving the greatest announcement ever given to the world. I love reading this story. I love the high drama of this story. I love what is revealed in this story, and I love why it is revealed in this story. I love the announcement that's made in this story, and I love to whom the announcement is made in this story, to these shepherds. That in itself just should give all of us tremendous hope this morning. We'll see why in a few moments. I love the unmissable pinpoint specificity of this story. I love what is revealed about the grace of God, the love of God, and the plan of God in this story to bring the good news of the gospel to a lost and dying and needy world like ours. Of course, the subject of this announcement is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In verses 1 through 7, Jesus, God's Son, Jesus, God himself, Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh, has been born in a stable in Bethlehem. That's amazing. That's spectacular. And no one knows except Mary and Joseph. But that's about to change in a really, really, really big way. These shepherds are out there in the field. In this era, shepherds were societal outcasts. In their day, shepherds mostly were considered to be nothing more than a band of despised liars and thieves. They represent for us some pretty rotten sinners. In their world, only lepers were lower on the cultural ladder than shepherds. It's nighttime. They're out there routinely doing what shepherds do, watching over their flocks. Nothing out of the ordinary. It was a normal, silent night. And the last thing these shepherds expect to see that night is an angel from heaven. But that's exactly what they encounter on this special night. And this night is a special night with a special announcement from heaven, because this day had been a special day. And the context of this story demands that we understand that this announcement from heaven was not just for the shepherds. It was for all people. That means that announcement made that night is for you and for me. What those shepherds heard, we should hear. what those shepherds saw, we should see. The wonder and the awe that they felt, we should feel today and the next few days. The message from the angel to the shepherd is what I want us to focus on this morning, because it's a message from heaven to earth. It's a message from the creator of all things to all of creation, and it's a message from holy God to sinful man. So let me try to set the scene. Let me try to paint the picture. But I know that I know that I know at best we will only barely scratch the surface. These lowly, sinful shepherds are watching their sheep at night. We read in verse 9, when all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Was the angel standing right there before them? Was the angel standing beside them? Was the angel standing over them, suspended in the air? We don't know. It doesn't matter. All they knew is that he wasn't there. And then he was. The darkness of the night that was all around them was shattered, and the darkness was engulfed with splendid light all around them. What they see, we must see. This light, we read, is the glory of the Lord. It's the radiant splendor of God's very presence among them. It's very safe to say God wanted these shepherds' attention. And it's just as safe to say God wants your attention with this story. Of course they were, as the King James Version says, they were sore afraid. They were cowering in trembling fear. And this angel of the Lord speaks. And mind you, an angel never brings his own message. That word angel, by definition, means a messenger. This angel of the Lord then means a messenger from the Lord. And that is why what they heard, we must hear today. The message he speaks is not his message, it's God's message from heaven to all people on earth. Beloved, what we have here is a divine, cosmic, E.F. Hutton moment of seismic magnitude. You know what happens when E.F. Hutton speaks? Everybody listens. This is not E.F. Hutton. Hear me. This is a message from God, through his messenger, to shepherds and to all men on earth and to you and me. In verse 10, we have, first of all, the introduction to this message from heaven. We might call it the preamble. It's very normal in this time and day for a king to give an announcement to the people of his realm, to maybe send out a messenger with something like this: hear ye, people of the realm. The king has a message for you. It's not the message, it's the introduction to the message. This is what we have, first of all, here. This introduction to the message starts with behold. It means listen. Here comes a message from the king. And in this introduction of the message, we hear the tone of the message and we hear who are the recipients of the message. And the tone of the message is a tone of comfort. The angel of the Lord says to the shepherds, fear not. Don't be afraid. And listen, these shepherds are probably pretty much aware of the notorious life they are known for living, that to have an angel of the Lord before them would probably be a pretty good reason to be afraid. But the angel says, don't be. There's no reason to fear about this message. The tone of this message is a tone of joy. People of God, don't miss the inspired adjectives of God in the story. The angel might have said, hear ye, hear ye. I bring you news from the creator of all of heaven and earth. It doesn't. It says, behold, I bring you good news. And he might have said, I bring you good news of joy today. There's this massive adjective there. He says, I bring you good news of what kind of joy? Here you go. Great joy. And what these shepherds feel we should feel this morning as we hear this message of good news, of great joy. The recipients of the message are these shepherds, but they're not just, this message is not just for the shepherds. We read that it's the good news of great joy for all the people, meaning for all the people of Israel and for all the people of the world for all time. That old, wise, devout Simeon gives us a helpful commentary just a little later on in the passage. We'll look at that helpful commentary from Simeon. If you would, just look at Luke 2, 28 through 32. The Lord Jesus has a baby's been brought to the temple. There's an old, wise, devout man there who had been told that he would never die until he saw the Messiah. Verse 28, and Simeon took him, that is the Lord Jesus, in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. You see, this is a message not just for the shepherds. It's a message for all people, and again, a message for you and me. And then in verses 11 and 12, that was the introduction of the message. But then in verses 11 and 12, we have the actual amazing content of the message from heaven. We know it's a message of comfort. We know it's a message of great joy. We know it's a message for all people. But what is the message itself? Here it is in verse 11. This angel of the Lord says to these shepherds, for today, in the city of David, he's already told us in the first verses that the city of David is Bethlehem. That's huge. That pinpoint specificity of this story that I was telling you about. Because it was that prophecy in Micah 5:2 that said the Messiah will be born in this town of Bethlehem. And so for today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel is saying to these shepherds, something incredibly special has happened today, and I'm going to tell you with pinpoint specificity where it happened. It happened in Bethlehem. Say that together. It happened in Bethlehem. You see why? Because we've got to hear that. What they've heard, we've got to hear. He says, here's what happened. There was born for you despised, poor, sinful shepherds. There was born for you a Savior. And that word Savior means a deliverer, a rescuer, one who comes and who's been sent on a mission of rescue of those in desperate need of rescue. The shepherds might have thought, okay, but who is this Savior? Can he save? And the angel from heaven tells them and us without equivocation, this Savior is Christ. He has these qualifications. For unto you has been born a Savior. And this Savior is Christ. Christos. Christos, a word that means the anointed one of God, the chosen one of God, the appointed one of God. This word Christos in the New Testament is the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament word for none other than Messiah. And so the angel said, for unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, Christ, the anointed, appointed, promised Messiah, for whom there are some 300 prophesied promises in the Old Testament of his coming to bless this world from the rescue of sin and darkness. But can he save? Can this Savior save? And he adds this other addition. This Savior is the Lord. Once again, the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament name for the name of God himself. The Savior is Yahweh. The everlasting, all-sufficient, almighty God, for whom, as we already heard earlier this morning, for whom nothing is too hard, for whom nothing is impossible. So yes, this rescue mission of this Savior cannot and will not fail. It will be fully accomplished. His birth is not how you'll accomplish it, but his birth is the very first step in time and in space of how God himself will bring salvation to sinners in this world. In verse 12, we have more of the just unmissable pinpoint specificity of the message of the angel from heaven. He's already told them the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, will be born in Bethlehem. And then the angel of the Lord with the message of the Lord says this to the shepherds. And this will be a sign to you. We can't miss it. God has sent his message to these angels, to these shepherds out in the field. And God says to them, this will be a sign for you. A sign from heaven to you on earth. There in the city of David, in the town of Bethlehem, you'll find a baby. You're looking for a baby. And you're looking for a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. Mr. Angel from heaven, can you give us a little more help here? Presently, because of Caesar's decree, Bethlehem is swollen with people from all parts who've come to their hometown to register for the census. There's no telling how many babies might be visiting this city on this night whose mothers have wrapped them in swaddling cloths, because all mothers wrap their babies in swaddling cloths. And God from heaven says to his messenger from heaven, the angel, I'll give you a sign you cannot miss. It's unmissable. Couldn't be more specific. Look at your Bible. There in verse 12, do you have the word and? This massive conjunction. The ESV has and. The New American Standard has and. The King James Version has a comma, which really serves as, and here's additional information for you. And God says to the angel, I will give you a sign you cannot miss. And this will be the sign for you. There in Bethlehem, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. These are shepherds. They know what a manger is. They know what a manger's for. A manger? A crib? A feeding trough for an animal? Yes, that's right. A lowly, crude manger. And beloved, of this, you can be certain. For how many babies there might have been in Bethlehem there that night, none of those babies would be in a manger. Except this one. Because although all mothers wrap their babies in swaddling cloths, mothers don't put their babies in animals' feeding troughs. But you want to see something so very special, something so amazingly special? Look back at verse 7 just for a moment. Look at verse 7 at something that Mary had done earlier that day with no inkling whatsoever that an angel from heaven would visit shepherds on earth with a message from God to them that they should look for a baby in a manger. Look at verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. With no idea that was going to be the sign God was going to give to these shepherds later that night. And then there's the glorious, spellbinding conclusion to this message from heaven, reminding us that it's not just for the shepherds, but that it's for all the inhabitants of the earth. It's for all creation. Verse 13. And now suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. Not one or two more angels. Not three or four more angels. Not five or six more angels. Not 10 or 20 more angels. Not 100 or so more angels, but the sky now is filled with the host of heaven. God wanted to get their attention with the angel. We better believe he really wants to get their attention with this host of heavenly angels. If you're sitting here today, God wanted to get your attention with the message of the one angel. You better believe he wants to get your attention by this song of the uncountable, innumerable host of heaven now that appear all of a sudden. And we read this multiple host of heaven is praising God. This sinless host of heaven were enraptured in praise of God for what he was doing in Bethlehem. These hosts of heaven are awestruck at the message their fellow angel has given to the shepherds, and we too ought to be awestruck by that message. And they were saying, and here we see how this announcement is for the whole universe. They were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. In other words, in heaven, glory to God in the highest of heavens with the highest possible degree of glory for what he's doing. That's in heaven. But on earth, peace among men with whom God is pleased. And so if you put together the message of the angel who brought the news of the Savior who is Christ the Lord, along with the message of the host of angels, then you see that this message from God is the good news of great joy, of rescue by God, and good news of great joy of reconciliation with God. The two greatest needs the shepherds had: rescue from sin and their guilt, and peace with God, reconciliation with God. And then in verses 15 through 20, we find the response of this message from heaven. And this response of this message comes in two parts. First of all, there's the response of the shepherds to the message they heard from heaven. And then there's the response of those in Bethlehem who heard the message from the shepherds that had been given to them from heaven. So first of all, the response to the message by the shepherds in verses 15 through 17. And when the angels went away from heaven into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened to us, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. What they saw, we should see. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And then there's the response of those who were there at Bethlehem, 18 and 19. And all who wondered, and all who heard it, wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And then it bounces back again to the response of the shepherds once again in verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They had heard the message from the angel. Now they had seen the reality of the message of the angel. And in faith and joy, they do now what the angels or the host of heaven had done. They returned to their sheep, glorifying and praising God. Glorifying and praising God for his goodness and his grace and his mercy to them. As these shepherds go back glorifying and praising God for what they had seen and heard, the complete specificity of what the angel of the Lord had told them, I rather imagine them fulfilling the prophecy of Malachi 4:2. It says, "The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." I read that prophecy, and I just went over to my computer, went to YouTube, and watched probably 4 or 5 videos of calves leaping from the stall. You've seen those, haven't you, before? These young calves, how old are they now? I mean, 3, 4, 5 days old, and they're just hopping around. They're just hopping around. I've got my legs. I'm alive. It's wonderful. This is good news. And he says, you're going to hear this good news. You're going to be like calves leaping from the stall. This message they heard and that we're supposed to hear, or that we're supposed to hear, is good news of great joy of God himself in Christ coming to the earth to rescue sinners from sin and guilt and to reconcile sinners to himself. But as Paul Tripp said in one of his recent Christmas devotions, good news is only good news to those who know they need it. For a person who's sitting safely and comfortably in their nice home, a helicopter flying overhead would hardly be noteworthy. But to a person who is desperately and hopelessly stranded on their roof because raging waters have filled their home, and their only place of escape was to go into the attic and break a hole into the roof and sit out there on the roof hoping someone would come and rescue them. To that person, a helicopter flying overhead, lowering a rescue basket, is good news. To understand and appreciate the reality of good news, you have to understand the reality of bad news. And you will never understand and appreciate the good news of the angel's message of a Savior being born if you don't understand the reality of the bad news of your need for that Savior. So here's what I want to do just for a very few minutes, just for, I don't know, 8 minutes or so, something like that. I want to let our fingers do a little walking this morning and look at some good news, bad news passages. Because remember, you're never going to appreciate the reality of the good news if you don't understand the reality of the bad news. So we're just going to go really fast. It's going to be a flyover. In fact, we're going to be like those people, just for a moment. We're going to be like those people desperately, hopelessly stranded on their rooftop in need of a helicopter to fly over us and lower down a rescue basket. So we're only going to do a flyover on these verses. Turn with me, if you would, first of all, then, to Romans chapter 3. Going to go quickly, but look at some of bad news, good news passages. Romans 3, starting at verse 9. I chose this passage because it reminds us of what the angel told the shepherds. This is good news for all people. Romans 3, beginning at verse 9. What then, are we Jews any better off? No, none at all. For we've already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. That's you, me, that's all people. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've all become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And now if you drop down to verse 21, that's the bad news. All under sin. Verse 21, the good news. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned. You've sinned, I had sinned, the shepherds had sinned, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by the faith. We've gone from crib to cross. Where God gave his son upon the cross to be the propitiation for our sins, where God sent his son to absorb the wrath that was due us. Some really bad news and some really good news. All right, Romans 5, starting at verse 12. We're going to read verse 12, then we're going to skip over to verse 15. So Romans 5, 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. He's reminding us about what we heard really in the first hour from Pastor Justin about Adam, our federal head, falling into sin and us falling with that sin into him as a human race. Now, verse 15. But the free gift of God is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, the shepherds and you and me, so by one man's obedience the many would be made righteous. Some really bad news, some really good news. One more, just one more to consider. Ephesians chapter 2. Pastor Justin mentioned actually both of these passages this morning, but Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 through 5. Then we'll jump over to or down to verse 8. Here's some people really stranded on the roof before God here in these first couple of verses. Oh, they're desperate. They're hopeless. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, that's good news, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Jump down to verse 8. And for by grace you've been saved. You've been rescued by the rescuer. By grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Now verse 12. And remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. Hear these words, really bad news. And you were as those having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, peace on earth. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God. A message of rescue by God and a message of reconciliation to God. The good news of the great joy that God was announcing to the shepherds and to all people and to you and me is the good news that 4,000 years of darkness was about to be rolled away by the light of the world who is lying as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. It was the good news of the promise made of the seed of the woman being born that would crush the head of the Satan, the prince of darkness, who was lying in a manger in Bethlehem. It was good news that the long, weighty curse of sin that had fallen on man when sin entered the world by Adam was about to be routed by the life and the ministry of the baby lying in the manger in Bethlehem. It was good news that the way of peace and pardon with God was about to be thrown open to the entire world for all who'd believe through the baby lying in the manger at Bethlehem. It was good news that the enemies of God were about to be reconciled with God by that baby in the manger in Bethlehem. It was the good news that the provision and the plan for sinful man to receive forgiveness of sins was about to be a reality through that baby in the manger in Bethlehem. It was the good news of a certain hope for those who were desperately stranded in their sin without God. without hope in this world who could be saved through the life and the ministry of that baby lying in the manger in Bethlehem. Let me ask you today, are you here today a captive to sin? You know you are. You're here, you're a captive to sin. You've tried to free yourself and you can't. You need a rescuer. You need a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Are you here today under the weight and the guilt of sin because you've broken God's law every day of your life in one way or the other? Are you here today as an enemy of God? The message to the shepherds is God's message to you. What they heard, you should hear. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And today you should hear that message of good news from heaven. And today you should receive that greatest gift of all, the gift of God's love and his full forgiveness through Christ, his Son. And then here, believer, today as a believer, as you once again hear and see the message of good news, of great joy that the shepherds heard, of the rescue they saw of God and the reconciliation they experienced with God, you too should go out of here today like them, glorifying and praising God. You too, like them, we ought to walk out of here this morning like young calves leaping from the stall in the joy of your salvation, of this good news of the gospel of peace to us through God's mercy and grace. So if people see you leaping out of here and they're saying, what's wrong with those crazy people in Grace Baptist Church? Nothing's wrong with them. They've heard the good news of God's grace and peace through Christ. Let's pray. God, I'm helping to leap and help me to keep on leaping. We ask you to speak to us through your word. We pray that you will have done that for the spread of your glory in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.